Friends, our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is a special day in the life of the church. Today is Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. It is a day that we remember that Jesus' earthly ministry began with John's baptism of him in the Jordan River. It is also a day where we remember our own baptisms, where we remember how our vocation, our calling as Christians, began with our baptisms. Baptism of Our Lord Sunday is also a day to consider anew how God may be calling us to respond to the call of our baptisms. Today we consider how we might use the gifts that God has given us to bear witness to God at work in the world. Today's scripture reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Acts is the second half of the story that began with the Gospel of Luke. While Luke focuses on the life and ministry of Jesus, Acts tells the story of the formation of the early church. In today's reading, we learn how early Christians were baptized. We learn that there was disagreement on how to baptize believers then, just as there is disagreement on how to baptize believers now. Apollos was what we would call a traveling evangelist. He went from city to city baptizing believers into John, and here he's talking about John the Baptist's baptism. When Paul travels to Ephesus, he meets Apollos, and he realizes that Apollos is not baptizing believers correctly. He tells Apollos, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and it served to prepare people for the one who is to come, Jesus. But now that Jesus has come, we need to begin baptizing believers in the name of Jesus. Because for Paul, baptism is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit is what empowers us to do the work of discipleship. Even today, the key element of baptism is the living presence of God in the life of believers. That is why, in case you were wondering, we baptize babies in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Because for us, baptism marks the beginning of this new life in the triune God. Where Apollos kind of messes up a little bit is it actually doesn't matter what happens to you on the day of your baptism. Many of us in this room, I imagine, were baptized as infants, so we probably don't remember the day of our baptism that well. For Paul and for us today, what matters far more is how you respond to the call of your baptism throughout your life. As the church celebrates baptism of our Lord Sunday, which usually falls in the beginning of January, the church also prepares to ordain and install new officers. Serving the church in her ordered ministries is one way you can respond to the call of your baptism. This year, as I was putting together the liturgy for ordination and installation, I was struck by how explicit the church makes ordered ministry a response to baptism. The liturgy begins by me saying, "We are all called into the church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling, to be disciples and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to particular service as deacons, as elders, as ministers of word and sacrament. Ordination is Christ's gift to the church, assuring that his ministry continues among us, providing for ministries of caring and compassion in the world, ordering the governance of the church, and preaching the word and administering the sacraments." I was doing some reading in the Book of Order, and I found that the only two requirements for serving in ordered ministry is that you are a baptized believer and that you are in good standing in the church that you are a member of. The church requires ministers, elders, and deacons to all be baptized before they serve the church. Because we see church service as a response to the call of our baptism. And we believe that we serve because of the Spirit's prompting. We believe that this call to serve is confirmed by the body of Christ when she gathers together for worship. And that we are only able to serve with God's help. So if you think about it, the liturgy for ordination and installation of officers is really a remembrance of baptism service. You'll notice in a couple weeks when we ordain and we install our new officers, the questions that we ask them are almost identical to the questions that we ask parents to affirm on behalf of the children they present for baptism. Do you trust in Jesus? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament? Do you receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith? We ask these questions so that we can signify the change in identity that happens as a result of baptism. To illustrate how in baptism we are called and claimed as Christ's own. To illustrate how everything we do from that moment forward is a response to this change that happened in our baptisms. Now, I know not everybody is called to serve the church in her ordered ministries. Does this mean that if you're not serving the church in this way, you can't respond to the call of your baptism? Well, I'm glad you asked. There are many ways you can respond to the call of your baptism, but all of these paths begin with what we call discernment, where we spend time in prayer and worship asking God how we might best serve God's kingdom. I want to begin, though, with a word of caution. I found in my own life, rarely do I feel totally qualified to do what God has asked me to do. For example, I think 8 or 9 years ago, I agreed to teach Sunday school at the church I was attending. And now, 9 years or so later, I'm pastoring two congregations and moderating our presbytery. Friends, the other thing that I've learned about responding to the call of my baptism is that God's plans for my life are always better than what I would have come up with on my own. Certainly, there are times when God is going to give me more than I can handle, but that's okay, because I believe and I've seen that God never leaves us or forsakes us. Because in our baptisms, We die to who we thought we were, and we take on this new identity as children of God. And in so doing, God sends God's Spirit to walk alongside us, even when we're scared, when we don't know what we're doing, when we're not sure how to move forward. I've often found the beginning of a new year is an excellent opportunity to reflect anew on how God is inviting us to respond to the call of our baptisms. We're likely going to be living in this liminal space between virus and vaccine for the next couple months. I find living in between the times is a great opportunity for reflection, because it is in these uncertain times that God speaks clearest to us. To kind of start us off on this discernment, I offer the following two reflection questions. So, what is one lesson from 2020 that you want to take and carry with you into the future? The flip side of that, what is one challenge from 2020 that you need to leave in 2020? Friends, my hope and my prayer for us as we head into this new year is that we would be open to the movement of the Spirit in our lives and our communities. Even with everything going on, we are called to be a people of hope and optimism. One of my goals for 2021 is to stop expecting God to do small things. I worship a God who brings kings to their knees, breathes new life into dry bones, and lifts up the lowly. If God can do that, surely God can help me live into the call of my baptism, which asks me to serve all of you with creativity, imagination, intelligence, and love. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.